during the week was out. It's going to be tough to get the Eli name, or at least it had been for the first few weeks, and you guys were able to generate a good amount of pressure. What was the key to that?
Well, it's twofold, because coverage leads to it. So we knew in the quick passing game that we had to get up tighter in coverage, and that makes them hold the ball a little bit longer. So I thought our guys did a really good job from a coverage standpoint. Aside from really that first drive, we were just off a little bit in that first drive, and but they did a better job in coverage, which leads him to holding onto the ball a little bit longer. And then I thought our D-line, especially the front four, got to him. It wasn't a real big blitz game for us just because the ball's out so quick and you don't want to leave too many voids in behind. So we had to play well in coverage, and the coverage then allows us the rush to get home. So.
What did the defense do to take Shane Vereen and those checkdowns? He didn't even have those either, really. What did they do to take him?
It's the same thing. He's when he's in there, he's a big part of, it's almost like Eli quickly goes to whose first read is, and one of the wide receivers or tight end, and then gets to the back. And so I thought our linebackers did a really good job in coverage on the back.
What about with Beckham? I think he only had like one target in the second half, no catches.
Yeah, Billy and Corey and those guys did a really good job of scheming it, and we tried to get him doubled as much as possible, and there was a lot of double coverage going on Odell.
What are you seeing overall from that secondary as far as progress week to week now, and really last night in particular?
I think they're growing as a group. I think they early when you got a group together and they're just worried about their job and then I got this and that's all I do. Now it's kind of looking at the overall picture and where do they fit into the overall concept of what's going on back there. I think there's a better understanding. We've got two really intelligent safeties that get everybody lined up in Malcolm and Walter, and that really helps. A guy I don't think gets enough credit, EJ Biggers, who's done a really nice job for us. He's a real, real smart football player, and allows Billy to do some different things call-wise because EJ can handle it call-wise. So, to get the five of those guys on the field, I think there's some continuity going on with those guys. The ability for Malcolm and Walter to both play down and back. It's not a, hey, this guy's always got to get over here, kind of how the formation comes out and expresses itself. They can handle that, and that's what happened on the first drive. They came out in two tight ends the entire drive, but they ran a lot of slot sets where the tight ends are on one side and the receivers are on another, which they hadn't shown. So it just took a little bit of tweaking and adjustment to do to it, to get adjusted to it. And then once they did that, I think they were good after that.
Chip, what can the coaches do to help Sam? He's got to go out there and do it. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But what can you do to coach him up so there's turnovers?
It's drill work, and I think obviously a lot of situations we do in the training, like everybody, are controlled situations, and when it comes to the game, it's an uncontrolled situation. So we need to simulate it as best we can, but you also can't go, live full go and have a rush come after him and try to hit him in practice just because you're not going to lose your quarterback in practice. I think that's the one difficulty with any coach when you're trying to simulate things in a practice situation that are applicable to the games. There's certain things, everybody tries to stay away from the quarterback just because of the injury factor, and you got to keep those guys healthy. There's a reason everybody in the NFL has those guys in red jerseys. So we got to do a little bit better job in terms of simulating the experience of what goes on in the game.
Before the interception in which Riley broke off his route.
Yeah, it was just a miscommunication between the two route in terms of what we're supposed to do and trying to read the top end of the coverage. And Riley was a little late in his decision part of it. Sam thought he was going to run through. Riley decided to stop. You could see both sides of it.
So he has a choice to either curl
or go deep, depending on how the coverage is.
Before now, Sam hasn't really ever had a problem with interceptions. Before he got here, was that your impression of him, that he was able to secure the ball?
Yeah, I thought Sam was, that's one of the reasons we really liked him. I thought he was really good with the football before he got here.
Do you think he has the ability to find that again?
Yeah, I do.
So why has he been inconsistent then?
That's a great question. I think it's just there's not one thing. I think at times it's the rush will break down, and so now he's going to move his feet and move. We did have some inconsistency and some wrong routes around the other night, so that kind of puts him in a situation. He's expecting the receiver to be here. He's not there anymore, and so we had a couple communication issues, some guys moving around a little bit. There was a little bit of shuffle there when Huff went down for a little bit, Coop was down for a little bit, and we're kind of jockeying the receivers around there a little bit. But that's not an excuse. That's just those are things we need to continue to work on as a group to get everybody on the same page.
Simple as long as the team is winning or in the position you're in right now, that you can afford to wait Sam out until he works his way through.
Yeah, we're not waiting any. I don't know what the waiting out is. I mean, Sam's our quarterback, so we got full confidence in Sam.
One of the things that makes Jordan Matthews effective is what he does post catch. What's the teaching point in terms of holding on to the football and fumbling?
Well, on the one he fumbled, he should have just stuck his foot in the ground and got up the field. He tried to go across the field. If he literally just took, after the catch, took his foot in the ground and got vertical, we would have had a first down and wouldn't have had the hit that we had. So, but the one thing about Jordan, he plays with outstanding effort. He's always going to give you everything he has. And, it was a heck of a hit. You know, it wasn't one of those where I think the ball was hanging out loose. He took a pretty good shot on that play. So,
when you're down three inside backers and you have Najee, who wasn't even with the team a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. wasn't even in the league, and he's able to play at a fairly high level, what does that give you as far as, you know, not a lot of teams have a fifth inside linebacker like a Najee Goodwin.
Like, we always felt like we did. It was just, and I said it when we made the cuts down to 53, that was the hardest cut for us. That's why it took the longest. We're trying to figure out a way to keep Najee because we believe he's a National Football League player. I think he's shown that he's a National Football League player. So when we had the opportunity, we had to make the move. When we had a little bit banged up, we were just fortunate that I don't know why he wasn't picked up, but thank God he wasn't. But we've got total confidence in Najee that he can go in there and play. And he did, he has, and he's done it, you know, for a couple of years here now. So it's a blessing, to be honest with you, that we have that depth at inside linebacker. But we also felt a year ago when we lost Michael for three or four games with the calf and then D'Amico for the season that we had to increase our depth at the inside linebacker spot because we felt like we were cut short the year before. So, hopefully we get Michael back here and Kiko coming back up here. And, then we got Najee in the group. We feel confident. We got five guys in there that can play quality football for us. So,
what has Rick Minner done with that group, especially with someone like Jordan Nix, only six games in his career?
Yeah, I think Rick's done a really nice job with the entire group. A lot of it used to just fall on D'Amico's shoulders, and everybody just always kind of looked to him. I think everybody's taken a little bit more onus and a little in terms of being able to make the calls, get everybody lined up, just because D'Amico's not going to be in there every snap. And Jordan's a really intelligent, savvy football player that, as I said before, never really acted like a rookie when he came in here. But he's really taken to how Rick is teaching in that room right now, and I think our inside linebacker play is a byproduct of that.
What's been the key to turning your running game around so abruptly?
Again, our offensive line is executing. You know, we haven't changed any schemes. We're doing the same things we've always done. But I think our offensive line is starting to come together and gel, and they're executing and really getting good push at the point of attack.
On Murray's touchdown run, was there one or two blocks that helped spring him?
I think everybody did. You know, when you watch his touchdown run, the entire front, you know, we had two great double teams and both off to the linebackers, and they were taking both tight ends, did a really nice job. And then DeMarco got up to the free safety, and that was the free safety he beat, kind of with stiff arm, knocked him to the ground. When you have a run play that pops and gets to the free safety, then that means – the front seven did their job, and they all did their job on that play.
Chris
doing a really nice job. You know, he's fitting in there, giving us different looks in the safety. It's the ability to now drop Walter and or Malcolm down, but you got to have another safety to be able to do that. So there's some good there are some different things we're doing, whether Biggs is in the game or Chris is in the game, that allows us to move Malcolm and Walt because of how Chris is playing back there.
Is Murray most effective when he can get his shoulder squared on the line, or can you say that about virtually any running back?
I think you probably say that about every running back. That's what football is. You don't want to play side to side. You want to play downhill. So
is it more so, though, for a guy like that who, once he gets moving, that's when he's...
No, I would say it about all of them. I think Ryan's the same way. When Ryan gets his shoulder squared to the line of scrimmage, same with Darren, so...
How much of the penalties bother you? It's been an issue all year, and what can you do to reduce
them? Well, we've been on the low end of in some games when I've been really pleased with them, but I think the penalties in the league are up. But I don't know. I think, did they have more than us yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah. I think we've been on the low side in almost every game we played, and just it's kind of how the game's expressed itself. But it's still, you know, the ones that really bother you are the administrative penalties. We lined up again. You know, covered up a receiver. We had two illegal procedure penalties. Those are the ones that are really, you know, the ones that you just can't. They're unacceptable. I mean, that's on us before the ball snap. Those pre-snap penalties are the ones you can't accept.
On the subject, what's going on with? There doesn't seem to be a special teams play in any game that doesn't draw a flag. Do you notice that? I mean,
Yeah, A.J. Biggers had a penalty, but I think we had a lot more special teams than that one.
I don't mean just the Eagles. I mean everybody. I mean, you almost can't run a punt without somebody doing something, is it?
Talk to the league, Les. Yeah. I'd appreciate it if you did.
Is there emphasis that hasn't been there in the past?
No, they haven't said anything about that.
What's been the key to your punt coverage, punt return coverage, your guys?
Our guys covering?
Yeah.
You know, I think the group you have to begin with, you know, we've got some guys that have a great want to. I think our gunners are doing a really, really good job of forcing the issue to a point where if they're asked to be doubled then, in which you have to do when you get a really good gunner, then that means the guys on the inside have to do a good job. And when you got some wily veterans like Brayman and Maragos and those guys in there, Coop and Coupland are doing a really good job at the wings for us. Those are two new guys that we didn't have. That used to be Chris Polk and Brad Smith, but I think both of those guys are doing a really good job. Trey Burton's, you know, in his second year, he's got a real good feel for it. Najee's an outstanding special teams player. So I think we have some guys that embrace the role of being on teams, but I also think that because of how well our gunners are playing, that all of a sudden when they have to go double them, then the inside guys are making up the difference for it. And Donnie is doing a really good job of directional punting, keeping it away from the returner at certain times, and you know, we're changing up how we're doing it. It's not always a directional kick. Sometimes he's kicking away, sometimes he's trying to change up the kick. So I think, you know, because we're varied and because Donnie can do that, not a lot of people can. I think that's what happens with Darren right now. You watch the Saints and the Giants, people try to kick away from him, but all of a sudden it changes the kick, and we're gaining a lot of, you know, you mentioned it last week about the Saints tried to kick away from Darren, and when they did, they're not, that's what their punter wasn't real comfortable doing. Therefore, we're gaining yards just because of the kick itself. It's easier. It's probably a lot harder than people think, and that's why what Donnie's doing has really been very beneficial to us because he's been able to change it up, but we haven't had any of those missed kicks in those situations. So.
How much have you looked at the Panthers, and how different do they look than a year ago when you guys played?
We've looked at them extensively. You know, that's the one thing. When you play an extra day, you know, we were in all day yesterday watching Carolina like we normally do on a Monday, but you still have to go play the Giants. They're the same team, but they're you know, I know I say it and people they're executing. You know, I think Cam's playing at a really high level right now. Jonathan Stewart's been healthy, so he's been he's just a horse inside. You know, so you got a great running attack. You got quarterback run that we haven't seen this year, you know, that we really have to really start to kind of hone in on because of Cam's going to carry the ball. I think they lead the NFL in rushing attempts per game because not only do you have the running back, you have the quarterback, and then Cam's thrown it at a really high level. They've lost some wideouts. You know, they lost Benjamin for the year, but they probably got one of the premier tight ends in Olsen right now, who had a huge game against Seattle last week and can cause some problems from a matchup standpoint as a tight end. And then defensively, it starts with their two linebackers who it's the best pair we'll play, you know, in Kuechly and Davis because they can both run sideline to sideline. They don't come off the field. They don't have to come off the field in nickel because they're both three-down linebackers, and they're doing a really nice job, you know, in all three phases. So there's a reason they're undefeated, and you can tell in terms of how they're playing right now.
What do you make
the red zone interceptions?
What's that?
When you look at the film of the red zone interceptions, are you seeing what Sam's seeing, and maybe it's not a throw that's just not right, or are you kind of not liking the decisions?
No, we're seeing the same things. You know, I think it's a, you know, the one to Ertz was a probably a little bit underthrown. I think Sam will tell you the same thing. Kind of it was the same issue with the one Riley broke in the Saints game where we thought we had it clean, but then Browner came back underneath. They've got to put a little bit more air under it and give the receiver a chance to catch it, not the DB a chance to catch it.
What do you make of the disparity for 16 games in terms of, I mean, there's five teams that haven't had a loss, including the Panthers. Most of those teams have coaches that have been in place for a long time, but generally, it's easy to turn things around. What's that?
Dan Quinn?
Well, they got one loss, but
Honestly, and I'm not shirking the question, I don't look at the league as a whole. I look at, we got Carolina this week, and that's all I'm looking at. I'm not a global, I couldn't even tell you who's winning in the AFC until we play those guys. I know we play one part of that division. You know, we'll play the East. When we play the Jets, our focus is on the Jets, you know, and then I know we got the Bills and the Patriots and the Dolphins coming up here at some point in time, but I don't look at overall. So
you guys, and what you did in the offseason in terms of changing things over, did you think, looking back now, that it would take a little while to get the motor to fifth gear?
I wouldn't use the analogy of driving a car at all. So I wouldn't. Again, we take it on a weekly basis. So it's just, what do we do now to prepare for Carolina? And I don't look at things globally at this point in time. Once you get into the season on each week, is really its own individual season and how you do it, just because a lot of it is a shuffling on the roster. Now, you didn't start. You had two inside linebackers, Michael Kendricks, Kiko Alonso, started against Atlanta for. They're not available. So now what do we do there? I mean, it's not a – there's not a global perspective in terms of how you look at it. Really, each week is just its own individual week. And I say the same thing after every game, one down, one to go. That's kind of how we look at it.
Sean McDermott and Spags both coached under Jim Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Are there a lot of similarities, and is there any kind of benefit playing?
There are some similarities, a lot. No, and I think the one thing I think that Jim did a great job of, and both Sean and Spags do a great job of, is tailoring their system to their personnel. So it's a different personnel that's in Carolina than there is in New York, and I think that's, you know, part of it. You know, and I think a lot of what Sean does revolves around Luke and Davis, and rightly so, because of how good those guys are.
When you say to DeMarco,
you guys had like 425 yards last night, even though with the four turnovers. I mean, how frustrating are those turnovers? Does it kind of show you like how close you guys can be, as you know, offensively without them? You know what I mean?
The turnovers are always frustrating, especially when, you know, you feel like you got it moving in the right direction. You know, we felt like we had some answers to what they were doing and felt like we could move the football against them. And then, you know, the SIWs, the self-inflicted wounds, come up. So it's just part of, you know, growing as an offensive group. You know, we've had production. You know, we've had production in the 3 years we've been here. You know, I think we've had 24 games of over 400 yards in the last 3 years. You know, but it's about stopping ourselves and not having the opponent stop us. And that's something that we're always striving to correct. We're always striving to improve. So,
in what ways have you seen small sample size? But I think you lost 3-4 after Monday night since you've been here. What's the challenge of the quick turnaround?
It's the challenge. Same challenge it is for everybody. Is you're just short a day in preparation.
So. What ways have you seen growth from Billy Davis as a defensive coordinator, or is he simply benefiting from improved personnel?
I think Billy's it's improved personnel, but I also think there's a comfort level with the players in the system. Brandon's here for 3 years. Connor's here for 3 years. That front seven, basically, with the exception of Jordan Hicks, has been here for a while. And the fact that you have a player like Malcolm that's kind of held the back end together, and now Walt and Nolan and Max and Biggs and Chris have started to kind of all form a group back there in the secondary has really helped. But I think the one thing that Billy's benefit is that continuity that we have up front, because you've had the same D-line. Both those outside linebackers have played a ton of snaps for us. And really, the really only addition at the inside linebacker is Jordan Hicks, who, again, has really kind of exceeded some people's expectations, not ours, but in terms of what he could handle as a rookie, you know, kind of got thrust into the role because of the injuries. But when you have some continuity from that standpoint, those guys understand the system to a point where they can make tweaks, they can make adjustments when the offense presents something to you. You know, when Billy or Corey or Az or one of